ignites a present.
Okay, so here's asking a question. Which means you're not allowed to, like, look into areas which are connected to Torah. Let me just grab the Rambam. It's like you're not allowed to consider, like, Avodah Zarah, out of curiosity. You're just curious about Avodah Zarah, or curious about Kfira, or whatever. So that's the Isser of L'Suach HaVacham Acharei Neichem. You're not allowed to do that. Right? Where's the Rambam? Do you know what fan the writer is? Let me see if I can find it. I just don't remember exactly. It's probably Sodei Torah? I think so, right? Or it's in...
Yeah, I think it's in Sodei Torah.
No, I don't think so. Maybe it's in Deos?
Avodah Zarah?
I mean, it's not... Oh, yeah, Avodah Zarah. Yeah, right, exactly. Avodah Zarah. Here. Oh, it's in the beginning, I think, right? Let's see here. So it's a good answer. It's important. Shulafanos achar v'zar. Shulalos achar v'esanayim. Yeah, okay. It's the first one, actually, v'zar. Yuri, are you still doing the mitzvahs?
No, I stopped a while ago.
How far did he get?
You see, it didn't work so well, I guess.
Yeah, how far did he get?
I think I was in the middle of,
Okay. Not too far.
Them?
You still remember them or no?
If you gave me like a half hour to review, I could probably get them all.
Yeah, okay, good.
Not bad.
Okay, it says like this. Okay, here we go. Svarim Rabim. One second. Yeah, okay. It's Ikar Tzivoy Bavod Zara. This is a few halachas, so this is probably what we're going to be doing tonight. It's a little bit of reading. It's interesting. It's an important topic. But yeah, for sure. Grab a Rambam. You stand on the trampoline. You see out there? Top? Yeah, up there. See? There's a Madahava. Oh, it's the one with the scotch tape. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You guys want some or are you good? Good? Okay. Ikar, so it's in Avod Zara. You can't serve any anything created. Even if you know that God is really the creator, is the real God, and these are just Bezal in Avodah Zarah, you're just doing this like Enosh did, just to remind you of Hashem, still the Esser. Maybe you'll look up to the sky. Maybe you will look with, you'll be like turned with the eye of your heart. You'll say these are the things that rule the world. They're the ones who God gave these things to the rest of the nations to be allowed to be around, and they get destroyed. K'min hayo shalom. V'tomar, in a second, I think it means like these. They'll say these really are manig the olam, and these are the things who control everything. They control. They're so powerful in the world. V'tomar shroy l'shachavos am lo'avdam. V'niyin azaytivam v'shem l'cham penyeth l'vavchem. Don't turn if the hero of your lev will seduce you into to be like some sort of an intermediary. Okay, this is Avodah Zarah. Well, the Avodah Zarah want to have some physical thing that could be they could use to relate to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So saying, you know, that's just Avodah Zarah. That's like an intro. Now, Svarim Rabim Chibro V'Avodah Zarah B'Avodah Zarah Heichek Avodah Zarah Man Meshpata Maaseh. So there are many books written by Avodah Zarah about Avodah Zarah, how exactly it works, what you do, how they act. Tzivon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalol Likros V'Osan Svarim Klal. Now I'll look at these, read these from at all. V'Lo Nahar Arba, not to think into them, to have hero, to imagine, you know, think into them. V'Lo B'Dovar Medvara, not anything of their, all their inyanim. I feel is stockil with masuras, even to stare at the form of their idol is asar. Shnemar al tifnu alilam, don't turn to these alilam, false gods. Vinim zeh nemar pentidush alilam leimar yichal yavdu. Shlo tishal derech avodasa yichi. Don't ask. Oh, how do they do it? I'm kind of want to know. V'afal pish einat ovidim. If you don't serve it, shadav zeh gorem lachal lehifanas acharah. This causes you to turn after it. The lasos kemashe hinosan, and to do like they do. Shenemer ve'esakin ganani. Right? V'chol alav me'ilah he'leilu v'nin achareim. For who? All these lavim. So yifna achar v'tzah. You can't turn it after v'tzah. And if you do do this with ma'isa, you can have malakas. But let this with you ask you. If a law of the Zara will vary who shall sell upon a Sakhar of Machshava, not only about Zara, Ela Kol Machshava shall go remiss the law of the Malak or Iker me Kari ha Torah. Any thought that caused you to uproot any Iker of the Torah. Ms. Harman Rishalola Halosa Ali Beinu. They shouldn't even think about it. Velo Nasiach Daitenu Lakach, and we shouldn't distract ourselves to it. Venachshov, and to think, Venimshach Achar Hir Elev, and to be drawn after your hearer, your thoughts. A person's mind is small. This is important to think. Not every person is capable of really understanding the truth ultimately. And every single person is able to just go after their own thoughts. Because of that, he'll destroy the world according to the smallness of his mind. Ketzad, how so? Pa'amim yasra ha'ozara, sometimes he'll think about ha'ozara. Pa'amim yasra v'yichad ha'borei, maybe sometimes he'll think about yichad ha'shem. Shem ha'hu shem ha'ino, maybe he is, maybe he doesn't. Ma'alamayla, ma'alamata, ma'alafnim, ma'alachar, what's above, what's below, what's in front, what's behind. Pa'amim ha'nevua, shem ha'hu yamas, shem ha'ino, so maybe nevua is true, maybe it isn't. Pa'amim ha'torah, shem ha'hu yimena shemayim, shem ha'ino. Right, maybe the Torah is from shemayim, maybe it's not. Ve'ini yodei ha'midos, she'yodin ba'am. He doesn't know the proper methodology of being able to think into these things, into really determining the truth of these things. Phenusio said, they mean us, it's going to turn out, it's going to come a gopher. All in his head, see, Rotor of an Emmer, Bavalos, a Surah, Halavacham, Acharinecham, Asheratim, Zonam, Acharim. So don't turn after your hearts and after your eyes that you stray after. Kilomar, Lo Yimsho, Kalachem, Mikamai, Chadaito, Akitsara. Don't have every person turn after his weak mind. And to think that his machshava could perceive the truth. Even though it's the worst lav, it causes the person to lose olam haba. It's not malchus because it's not a ma'isa. Okay, so Yehuda's question is, how could you have an issue like this? If Torah is true, so Torah is true. What's it afraid of? Right? How could the whole Torah is saying, keep the Torah because it's true? Now you're going to tell a person you're not allowed to look into the truth. These things are claiming to be truth. Now you're saying is, you're not allowed to do it. I mean, listen, obviously every religion tells people you're not allowed to look, you're not allowed to think about other things, right? It sounds like a little bit of a self-serving type of a law, right?
I mean, what? I think a similar question.
Similar or simpler?
Similar.
Similar, okay.
Is that the issue when he was asking about, this guy with, the Das Kassara,
right.
You tell him not to look into things, because maybe one day he'll believe Torah, or the next day he'll believe Christianity. So, when he's believing Torah, is he really believing Torah? It sounds like, what he thinks is just, based upon his feelings.
Right. You mean, why is he believing Torah?
Right, do we really even care about this guy? Does this guy really believe in Torah when the Bible says that he's believing in Torah?
Right.
He really wasn't understood things, but
Right. You mean, what's his belief in Torah, really?
Right. Just sounds like it's a lip service.
Right.
That's the guy we're talking about.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is it better to keep him with his lip service and not let him, have his
That's a good point. Yeah, okay. Good question. Okay. So what's the answer? Everyone here has a question, right?
Yeah.
It's an important question.
Can't you say that it's for the sake of the Masorah?
For the sake of the Masorah.
Like a guy like that, if you were to have bad ideas, he might go and convey those bad ideas to his children
right.
and future generations.
Sure.
So might as well leave him with somewhat bad ideas, but not like Christian ideas.
Right.
So he could convey it and pass it down.
Mm-hmm. Right. Better off let him have a bad idea of Torah, superficial. So, that's a good question.
Was there something else?
What?
Question?
Yeah.
This
say that maybe, say it's, maybe it's a kind of an underestimation of the draw of these other things.
Right.
And not only that, but kind of the resistance, like on the flip side, the resistance towards Torah, because Torah is a, kind of, it's a rigid system. It puts a hold on your sexual right. desire, and it's not some easy for someone to accept, even though they might see it's true. Like any little way out that you can find, it's easy for the mind to rationalize and kind of try to just go for it to at least to get away from it for a little bit. Even though a person might come back to it, because in the end of the day they know it's true or something, whatever it is. But I'm just saying that even if a guy accepts and actually does accept it, it's not crazy for him to one day try to wiggle his way out of it. You read something else that right. might say the contrary.
Right.
Draw for that life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's say, good question. Let's say you had a kid who wanted to start reading like Nazi literature or something like that, or some, you know, something like that. Like, would you try to? I mean, it's hard nowadays to restrict the person from doing anything. But if you were sensible, would you think it would be a good idea to prevent someone from doing something like that? Like a rebellious kind of kid, and he was kind of curious about the stuff, and you say, listen, it's true. Look, he's just looking for truth. That's all he wants. After all, you believe Nazism isn't really true, so then what's your problem? What are you worried about?
Yes,
I'm saying, right? As a kid. Because he's a kid?
Still forming.
Okay. You mean he's a kid. But for a kid, you understand that.
A kid, I kind of...
Well, let's say, how old does a kid mean? Let's say he's 18 years old. I don't know.
Yeah.
My kid is like 18.
I don't know.
Then, you don't know.
So simple. It's the primary
village
stage.
Primary village stage.
What's,
yeah.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah, another question.
What's the interesting base in Gimel?
Days in Gimel?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, because this is Sivan Rekosh Rav Shalom Rekosh also has from Klal Vlo Nehar
Erba Vlo Vid Vlo Nehar. Right. I think the difference is like that's by Avodah Zarah, and then the Gimel extends it to all or anything which is against the Torah.
Right, but then in Gimel, right, he says
Chol Avim.
Right, so it's really, you know, any machshava, like you can't think about it at all.
Don't think about any other, even other things that are against the Torah. It's not only thinking about Avodah Zarah, thinking into atheism, or thinking into something where maybe a person doesn't have free will, or think maybe God isn't one, or, you know, it's not only things which are Avodah Zarah, it's anything which is against Yisrael Hadas. So Avodah Zarah is where it's stated, but he's saying is it extends to anything which is against Yisrael Hadas.
But Avodah Zarah is more about...
What? Avodah Zarah proper. To look into the practices of the Avodah Zarah. Because that's the way, the primary place it's stated is by the Avodah Zarah themselves. You know? To say, to try to pick up an ancient religious book and see what they did. To pick up the Christian, whatever. Just try to look into it. You're curious about Christian practices, so you want to look into them. So he's saying, I want to do that. That's Avodah Zarah. But now he's saying it's not only Avodah Zarah, it's any of these types of things. Anything which is against the Torah. You know what I mean?
So the Avodah Zarah is defined in this case as a practice itself. Like, let's say...
You're right. Yeah, idolatry.
What?
Idolatry. Idolaters, idolatry, people, you know, the whole world of idolatry.
Right.
Right. So, Yehuda, do you have a question for your answer? I mean...
What is free will?
How about an answer for your question?
No, I do not have an answer for my question. This was been on my mind for like a week or so.
A week or so? Okay, I thought you were
going to say... Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot recently.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I thought you were going to say a few years or something. Yeah. So I don't know. Here's like one possible. I mean, there's a few different thoughts, but I mean, one question you could ask is, who are we talking about? Like, what? Like, would you tell a guy, let's do Torah Sinai? Like, let's say a guy. Let's say he's like the Torah holds by Torah Sinai. The Ramban holds the mitzvah to know that Torah Sinai took place, and the basic proof is God set this up. Laman, you know. What's it say? Like, the Torah set up Sinai as the event, which is clear proof, Ladora Doros, easy proof. Doesn't take any rocket science to follow the proof and to understand the proof and to know that the event of Sinai took place. Right? So I don't think he's saying he's a person. There's a question. It's like, does it mean a person shouldn't look into knowing whether Sinai is true or not, whether the Torah is true or not? Seems like the Torah holds on to Reis Aladask, and the Torah gave, God gave the Torah at Sinai, and set this up as the thing of Doros, and Ramban holds the mitzvah to tell to your kids. So,
my question is, like, a guy that really understood that, you know?
Understood Sinai.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what, so let's take that together. I'm just saying, this is the first thing we have to decide. Are we assuming that a guy knows Sinai? Is it saying you shouldn't consider, like, a guy who doesn't know anything shouldn't even consider Sinai? Like, a guy who just, a guy brought up, like, nothing, shouldn't even think about whether Sinai is true or not? Or does it mean, assuming you know the proof of Torah Sinai, so then, it's talking about going further inquiries. Yeah, right, that guy, if a guy already knows Torah Sinai, that's what I'm claiming. I'm claiming this, and I think this. If you buy this, I think maybe I can explain the thing. But I'm claiming. Okay, fine. So let's just agree then. I'll be happy to agree. So I'm saying is, we're talking about a guy who knows Torah Sinai. Okay, he knows the proof of Torah Sinai. He knows, he's convinced of that. He's convinced of Torah Sinai. Because otherwise, what's he doing the mitzvah for? What does he even know about the mitzvahs? What are the mitzvahs? He's listening to the mitzvah. If he doesn't know that Sinai, the Torah is true. So he has some knowledge that the Torah is true. Okay, he knows Torah Sinai. Now he wants to say, I know that the Torah is true through the, so to speak, the second-hand proof of Torah Sinai. It's so to speak, it's a second-hand proof. Now I want to philosophically inquire into these matters. Torah says God is one. But I'm kind of curious. Let me look into it myself. Maybe God is one, maybe he isn't, you know? I know the Torah says so, and I know the Torah is true. But I wanted to get to the bottom of this. How do we really know this? Is there a proof? You know, how do we really know Nevuah? That's a guy says, I want to become a first-hand philosopher. I want to think into these matters myself. I don't want to just rely on the authority of Torah. I know the authority of Torah is true, but I want to see firsthand. So what I'm saying is, maybe that's what we're talking about. How you doing? Right. So, can we agree that that's what he's talking about? But I'm saying, if a guy mamish has no clue, he just has no knowledge. Maybe the Torah isn't true. How is he supposed to know the Torah is true? Since his parents told him the Torah is true, he has no way at all of having any knowledge whatsoever the Torah is true. He just realizes when he's 15 years old. I know this is what I've been taught when I was a kid, but I know every Christian has been taught this when they're a kid. So, why exactly am I Jewish? Well, he's not allowed to think about it. What's he supposed to do? Just
why would the Rambam be saying that?
What?
Why would the Rambam be saying that?
Why would he be saying that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, in theory, it is an isser to think about whether the Torah is true or to think about these things. So.
My best specifically looking at the books that are like.
I guess a kid's 15. Let's say a kid's 15 years old,
right.
And he realizes he's been taught. He hasn't been taught Sinai. He doesn't know anything about Sinai. Now he basically says, "Hey, you know what? I know I believe in the Torah, but maybe let me look at all these other religions and figure out whether this is, you know."
There's no like.
Well, Torah Sinai itself is saying is like he says maybe you'll think Torah is Minashmayim, maybe Torah is not Minashmayim. That's part of his thing you're not supposed to be thinking about. You know, so now it seems like no, he says anything, other stuff also, not only about Zara, but even other things. Any machshava that caused him to uproot any of the Ikari Torah. Shouldn't be Lahalos Ali Beinu, Blon Siach
Daitain
Lakach. I'm saying it's his first initial investigation into the thing is, how does he even know that the thing is true? What does the Torah expect? I'm saying the Torah expects a person to have some reason to believe in the Torah. The Torah is saying, believe because it's true. Now he says, no, it's true. And my parents say, listen, I'm telling you, dude, it's true. He'll say, I don't, yeah, but I don't believe you. You're telling me that, but how do you know?
Then he'll give it up.
Yeah, yeah, maybe he'll give it up. So what's the story going to tell the guy? Sorry, Los Azur, we're not allowed to even figure out whether it's true or not. Yeah. I mean, that's like another attitude of the front world has an attitude like that. Listen, it's true and that's it, and believe it.
Just
blind faith, just believe it because we said so. Los Azur, stop asking questions. Forget about it. It's true. I'm telling you it's true. Stop asking that. Right? And you lose guys like that because they realize, anyone who's smart realizes that that's why should I really go for that? Is there, you got to be better than that. Right? Because just because I happen to be born like this, is it, that's it? Well, there's a lot more people who happen to be born into other religions. So you got to at least give me some reason to believe that this thing is, there's something to it. Right? So I'm saying is, it can't be saying that a guy can't figure out whether in fact the Torah, just a genuine, he's not like following his Yehor HaLev, he just doesn't know. How is he supposed to know? The Torah is supposed to be the knowledge. How's a guy supposed to, he has to know something? So, I mean, yeah, I mean, think, what's a guy supposed to do? I mean, if he's honestly investigating, I mean, there's such a thing, and this is another point, I think there's different kinds of investigation. There's a guy honestly investigating, and a guy who's looking for some sort of way out. I mean, that I think is, even for a guy like that, if a guy's brought up from, there's an honest investigation because you're really looking for truth, and I say, it's a guy has to be able to do that. How are you supposed to know the Torah is true? You have to at least know that. And then there's like a guy who's just looking for to follow his typos. But I mean, look, if a guy doesn't know the Torah is true, let him follow his typos. I mean, how's he even supposed to know that there's anything wrong with that? Just because his parents told him he's not supposed to, you know? It would seem to be, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, it can't be. It's assuming a guy accepts the Torah and basic fundamentals of the Torah. The most basic thing is Torah Sinai. It's part of the Torah. It's the idea of, you know, the mass, the whole event of Sinai. And it's part of, I mean, nowadays people don't know it, so it's kind of like, you know, but I'm saying, it's not that much. He doesn't know that much. Sinai is very basic. I know we aren't doing it this week. We want to still do it. But it's very straightforward. You don't have to be a brilliant theoretician to understand it. It's a simple, you know, and whether he knows the proof exists, but there's a sense of the proof. I mean, you don't have to be able to formulate it in an exact way, but a guy thinks into it. I mean, there's a certain sense that Torah is true. And a guy knows that with his mind. Now, I'm saying is that guy, the proof was made, and this is unbelievable about Sinai, is the proof of Sinai is anybody could follow it. It's not a hard proof. It's not like a proof of going into studying physics or a proof of studying like a sugya in Bava Kamma. Look, not every guy could learn through a sugya in Shas. I mean, Shas is hard. But the proof is so simple. I mean, it's very basic. And it's made to be that way. It's made to be a one-time thing. The Dori Doros. It's a simple proof. It's not. There's nothing complex about it. So a guy could have a knowledge, a simple knowledge. Torah is true. Now he's saying, listen, I know the Torah is true because of Sinai. But it's kind of like secondhand. It's a secondhand proof. It's telling me, it's like I know that the event happened, and since I know the event happened, I know everything the Torah says is true because the event happened. But I don't really know like that why these things are true. I don't really know what's wrong with Avodah Zarah. I don't really know exactly what's wrong with atheists and their arguments. I don't know, you know. So I'll look into it and I'll see myself. That's what I want to do. After all, the Torah is by knowledge. So I want to see. Let me see. Right? That's what I gotta say. So if you're with me, that that's the answer. Now the question is, so why? Why should that be answer? After all, that was true. What's the Torah doing? Right? So you think that makes the question harder, Matt? So, but your question is that that's not Torah. But why is that not Torah? That is Torah. Your question was that, I don't know which question of yours it was, but one of your questions was that guy isn't really accepting Torah like Torah, it's just like another religion now.
Right.
But it isn't, because he's just accepting based on Torah Sinai.
I guess it makes that part better. But I was thinking if he really has. I guess it makes a huge question.
Huge question.
If he really has knowledge of the thing, well, he's going to see some other religion, he's going to decide maybe that's true.
Oh.
He already knows, he's already seen it.
Yeah, okay. So what does the Rambam say?
Right?
Funny lesson to destroy the whole world. Seems like an alarmist or whatever. But it says, not every guy's mind, not every guy is fit to understand these ideas and to pursue these things and to get into these areas. So what will happen? Let's say he looks into the thing firsthand and he ends up thinking, I don't know, I don't really hear that argument. I don't hear the proof, you know? I don't hear the proof that God is one. I know something like that, you know? Now what's going to happen is, in theory, really, he should just say, listen, I know it's true, period. Right? But what happens is, he's going to get himself into the area, and sometimes there's such a thing as getting stuck on a problem that you can't get past. You know, and like, you don't see it, and you don't, you trust your mind to a certain extent, and you kind of get into an area, and then you get stuck on a problem, and I think the big problem is also you have emotions.
Your man's not objective by nature.
Yeah, you're not objective, and I think you have emotions, so you get stuck on a hard problem, and then you can kind of get carried away, and you give more, you so to speak, give more weight to your mind then. Like, you don't know, like, there's an area that you're not ready for, you know, you get stuck, you don't, it's hard to then say, oh, it's not my area, forget it, I'll just go back to CMA. It's like once he opens up his mind and starts getting into these areas in a first-hand kind of a way, then he kind of becomes exposed to doubts and to questions that he may not be able to handle. And his emotions are looking for an out. And he can now say, oh, maybe it's not really true. Even though, in truth, in an honest truth, he should always be able to fall back on Sinai. Like, that's what it seems to be, should be true. I mean, ultimately, he could fall back on Sinai. But it sounds like a guy, it's a dangerous thing. I think that's what it says in the Lose Suru. Achorei levavchem. Achorei levavchem means it's like your heart. Which means that you have emotions here.
Does Ramban quote the same pasuk in the introduction to Bereishis when he refers to learning the Zohar?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure Kabbalah, not the
maybe.
Not the Zohar, because yeah, I know he
yeah.
talks about that.
Yeah, no, he does talk something like that. Right. Sounds familiar.
It's very dangerous to
be yeah, right.
You have to learn Kabbalah, because yeah, right. your mind's going to wander. You're not going to be
actually by
nature.
Right.
And you're going to come up with the wrong ideas.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
I have a problem with what you're just saying.
Okay.
So I think it can be countered. I think the exact same argument can be countered from, like, let's say a person is an atheist.
Okay.
They could say, oh, well, you're just looking for a reason. You have an emotional bias to be Jewish. Your whole family is Jewish. Your friends are Jewish. So you by investigating that, by accepting totally Sinai as truth and not looking into other things, the only reason you're doing that is because you want to be Jewish. But if you're a real objective and reasonable person, you'd be able to. And if anything, I would say that us or people in our in our state, we have halacha is not like terribly hard. And if anything, we have a bias at the point where we are now to be to stay Jewish. So. If anything, you should come and look at what we have here. We have, pretty interesting arguments. Like, I don't see the whole emotional, like maybe that's for for a guy who just heard Torah Misina, Like, it doesn't seem like that's I don't see that argument.
Well, I'm not sure I don't follow what you're saying. No, which argument? Like, a guy knows Torah Misina is true, right? So he knows about Torah Misina. So now he wants to consider maybe there's no God.
Right.
But he knows there's a God.
Right. But I think that's another thing which I'm not sure of. Like, let's say for science or physics, any example that you want to take. Like, you can have a question that doesn't directly relate to the argument itself. But once you see evidence otherwise, you know that it must be false. For example, let's say Torah Misina is an argument that uses secondhand knowledge to show that an event took place, right?
Right.
But if you can show that there's no that the existence of God is false or can't be true, then you know that that Torah Sinai, there must be some kink in the Torah Sinai chain.
Yeah, I guess so. So what's the flaw in, I mean, this, now some guy is promising you that there's a proof that God doesn't exist.
Right.
And he's also asking another question on the flip side. I mean, your argument you could take on the flip side. Maybe you're not being objective here, and really that guy's promising you a real objective argument. Look, he's saying your family's all this, this, and that, and you think you're being objective, but you're not. You have emotions, and you know, want to believe this because you want to be part of your crowd, and it's just, you know, I mean, you can take your own argument.
So what's the question? Does he have a kash on Tarmis? You know, he just has some other thing. Well, let's just hear. Since you have Tarmis, you know, it's a good argument. Your mind sees it as a clear argument. He permits that it's true. Now, what's this? Now, how's he coming to you? He's saying, does he have a question on it? Or he says, listen, I agree with you, it's a good proof, but I promise you that I have a proof that God can't possibly exist. I mean, it's hard to imagine this. It's like not really a provable type of thing altogether.
No, I mean, let's say you'll say to him, "Look, man, I can't listen to you because, like, I know these kinds of areas. I might get sucked in and like not be objective because I have emotions." And he'll tell you, "What do you mean that you're not being objective now? You know, I'm trying to take you out of that. You're faulty right now." So what are you going to say? Like, that's the argument I just gave you. You can just flip it around. Like, how are you going to... That's not an argument anymore, you know?
Well, the question is does he have a simple argument, a proof?
If you can't even listen to it now. You should just... You know what I'm saying?
The question is, what do you know? I mean, you have to know that the argument is simple. I mean, if you don't trust your mind, then you got a problem. But, I mean, if you know that, you have to know, to be honest with yourself, and know the argument is simple and it's convincing. And if it is, now some guy tells you that he has whatever, he can tell you whatever he wants, but bottom line is you have to know, is this convincing? And if it's convincing, then it's convincing. I mean, you have to be honest with yourself, but if you honestly know the proof, then you know the proof. Now you're going to say, but I want to say, maybe there's some other guy says he's convinced by something else. And whatever. What is that? But I know that I'm me, and I know that there are emotions in this other area, and I get drawn in. And bottom line is, he doesn't have a proof like that. I mean, I guess you don't know that, but you just know what you have.
Let's just take the other guy out of the picture for a second.
Okay.
I think the question is, like, we're saying now that if a guy has knowledge of Torah and he's seen that, he still has emotions to read Torah.
Right.
So if he starts reading these other books, maybe he'll be convinced better.
Right.
So I think the question is, like, why don't you say that when it came to Torah and he's seen that, originally, the person has strong emotions to accept it.
Right.
So, like, how, if a person's emotions are going to get involved in the second accepting the argument is true,
right?
Then how come they didn't, you know, flare up at Torah and Sinai originally? That's how he accepts it right now.
You're saying maybe the reason why he accepts it is because of his emotions.
I'm saying it sounds like from this law, there's an idea that when a person's emotions are contrary to a certain idea, he shouldn't, like, feed that fire with, like, books about it. He shouldn't even get involved in thinking about it too much, because if he's not really smart enough, it's just gonna take those emotions and cancel them, and then it's gonna be done. It's gonna interfere with him being really, like, totally rational.
Right. But I guess he has to try to think. He's like, that's a question. But I guess you have to think. I'm not sure the answer to this is, but he's like, is the appeal of Torah Misinai and of Torah because of an emotional appeal, or is it an appeal of Torah of truth?
I think his question is that a lot of people have a strong emotional.
Mommy? He grew up as a drum guy, and then he started doubting it and whatever. And now some told Tony Sinas, he'll say maybe he accepted it because of all his emotions, but not because it actually makes sense.
Just like on the flip side, you'd say maybe if someone presents an argument that there's an only three gods out there, he's going to accept it due to his strong emotion to leave Torah. It's burdensome for him.
I mean, like, either way, you're feeding that emotion by.
Right, so it's under from the Salacha that there's an idea of doesn't accept or something, but he can't really think of it himself, but just with his emotion of that side.
See, I think that's a good question. It could be is like you have to know when something is a hard area and something is simple. Like I think Sinai, like looking into like a first-hand investigation of whether God exists is something which is clearly a very difficult pursuit. Something which you could sense is like going, pushing you to the end of your mind power, and that's something you have to be skeptical of your ability to get it, you know, to really come out as a solid answer, like an unbiased solid answer. But the idea of Sinai is designed, and you could think about it, and you think you're not really. It's a tight argument. It's solid. It's simple. You're not really. You're not, it's not like a judgment call. It's like there's such a thing as seeing an idea clearly and seeing an argument clearly. And when you see an argument clearly, you could know that this is not an emotional thing. It's a clear argument. I mean, you have to be honest with yourself, but there's such a thing as an argument being clear. And when it's clear...
Is it like all the emotions in the world couldn't convince you that eventually
that idea was clear? Yeah, right. Right, I'm saying it's all the emotions in the world shouldn't convince, can't convince you that an unclear idea was clear. Right. I mean, you have to, you have a sense that you're bulldozering it through. So there's an idea of a clear idea, and you have to trust your mind that to see that it's clear. And if it is clear, then you know it to be clear, simple, not, you know, not deep. Once it's deep and murky, then you got problems. And already, you know, now that's the area where it's likely that you're going to get, you know, your emotions are going to act up. Because now it's subject to intuition. Intuition is the area where you can't really do when you have emotions. It's the areas which are intuitive, which you don't really have clear, solid arguments. And you kind of have to use an intuitive sense. That's bad. Then your emotions are going to kill you. You know, but if an argument is clear, then it's clear. And there's no, your emotions can't cause, you can't, don't cause you to sway. It's just clear. Like in mathematics. No one's getting, believing in a mathematical theorem because of his emotions. Because a good, solid mathematics is clear step-by-step arguments. So you're not going to say he believes in a mathematical theorem because he wants to. It's clear. I mean, it's clear. There's no room for that. When it comes to something else, like some psychology or something which is like looser, more abstract, more whatever, that already is an area where your emotions will kill you. Because the nature of the area is not so concrete. The arguments are very subtle, very abstract. And that type of an area lends itself to biases, really blinding your fine-tuned critical thinking. You know, but Sinai was designed in a way that it's not, it doesn't demand fine thinking. It's clear-cut thinking. Step-by-step, clear logic, simple thinking. So if that's the case, and you know the Torah is true based upon that, then there's no room for being your emotions which are convincing you to accept it. Then rather, rather, you see, it's clear. So now you're saying is now you have emotions the other way to give it up.
Also,
like, what's that guy going to do? You know, he has emotions for keeping
Torah, he has emotions for Torah. Like, mm-hmm. Now I have to
investigate
it and make some kind of a decision. Like, he just can't sit back and sit there instead of doubt like that.
Right? Well, he doesn't
know
Sinai,
doesn't
he? Right.
He claims Sinai. Right. Okay. But maybe our question is now, maybe he doesn't, because he has no biases.
Right.
Accepting Sinai, something. Biases towards accepting it, biases towards rejecting
right.
it. Just have to think into it and, like, make
up
his best
assessment whether he's,
yeah, like, maybe there's
an emotion
that's true, but, like, he's made his best assessment.
Right.
The other way,
you
say, maybe there's another emotion that's true towards the other side. Right.
And therefore?
It doesn't help with this a lot, but I'm saying it might help with that question.
In that guy.
Right.
It's a funny case altogether. I mean, it is interesting, but the case is a funny case of the guy, the bias to Torah. Because I would say, is like, intrinsically, Torah is not really a system which is emotionally pleasing. And like, at least not the surface emotions.
Socially.
Socially, I know. Socially, I feel, is like a... That's what's interesting about it. It's like a... It's like a less intrinsic type of thing, because it's like an accident. I don't know, it's what I'm thinking about, but like I could see saying it socially is like a thing, you can get a different social group. Like the core emotions of a person are like restricted by Torah, and there's like, those are intrinsic desires of being free, and your emotions being able to like have not be bound by halacha, and believing in a physical God, and all the, you know, like Torah is not constructed in a way that's emotionally pleasing. Now, by accident, it may happen to be pleasing for you because you're in a particular peer group, but it's like more base, underlying, intrinsic emotions are against it. Yeah.
It's people's world.
Well, I know. You know. That's what I know.
Their world is not abstract of you. It's like,
I know. People.
Their family,
their
friends.
I know. It's true. But I think, yeah. You know, that's what I'm not sure about. Yeah, no, that's true. But I think that's the answer. I think that there's an idea is that you could have a sense of an idea that's true, and you don't have to... No one's going to convince you that your belief in the Pythagorean theorem is based upon your emotions. Even if you happen to be Pythagoras or whatever, he was your great-uncle, and it doesn't matter. It's just clear. There's nothing to talk about. So I think Sinai is an argument that's like that. I mean, look, if you're not convinced of Sinai in that way, it doesn't really say that it doesn't work. What I'm saying is that it was designed to be that way, and if you think into it, I think that it is that way. It's not, that's the thing, it's ain't, these are areas not every person's mind is capable of. Because these things are very hard. I mean, you ever get into these areas, could the world be explained without a creator or with a creator? I mean, these are like, to really get as God one, as God two, these are abstract types of things. Sinai is historical evidence as an event, as mass witnesses, to testify to the thing. It's just, you know, it's not abstract, subtle argumentation. You're not getting into the underlying philosophy. That's what's something that's interesting. It's like these are philosophical ideas, but it's the knowledge is like historical knowledge. You can know the Torah is true and all the deep philosophical ideas in it through historical knowledge. But knowing history is a much simpler area than knowing philosophy, abstract ideas. So God set up the system is that prior to Sinai, you had to be a philosopher to know Torah. You had basically Nevi Avraham Avinu, or be one of his followers, and he had to teach you ideas of God, and Avodah Zarah, and this, and Yichud Hashem, and all that. And that's what Torah was for philosophers. If you aren't a philosopher, you aren't going to accept it. But Sinai says, now you don't have to be a philosopher. All you have to be is good at assessing historical truth, which is a much simpler thing. You can know 9/11 happened. Every guy knows 9/11 happened. Or you can know, the Holocaust happened. Or you can know that... George Washington existed. Like, these are things you don't have to be a big abstract thinker to know history. You just have a certain, I mean, you have to think into the methodology and what the tools are that you have of assessing historical knowledge, but you don't have to be a philosopher. But you know, you end up knowing philosophical truths, which to know otherwise, you're just not capable of thinking about these things. And that's what I think that's the problem. I think that's the big problem, is that the thing that I mean is that the reason why your mind isn't able to do it is because See, it depends. If your mind is super developed and, you know, then you're an expert thinker, then you could really see these ideas clearly. And then you really are not going to have these problems. A person who's really like a real good thinker. It's not like the Rambam could think about these things and he doesn't have to worry about his emotions barking because he knows how to think clearly. But insofar as we're not developed that way, so it comes to an area where it's totally in our intuitions. Right? And insofar as we have emotions, so now we can be blinded by our intuitions. So you have to know whether the area is subject to like a real like your emotions. I mean, they're subject whether the nature of the area is so abstract and so elusive, and whether your emotions are capable, you know, whether your emotions are going to blind you.
So how is that not a mice okay. For your mouth? Meaning like a person wants
you
to
go at the back.
Maybe a person wants to study...
Maisa? I know, I don't know. It seems like he says if you do it with a Maisa, then you would get Malkus. At least by Avodah Zarah. He says that in Gimel, I know. And then at the end, he says there's no Malkus. So I'm not really sure. I don't know, maybe it depends how you do it. And it sounds a little bit of a contradiction. So I'm not sure. Good question. Yehuda, how you doing there? I hear your question, yeah.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't know, I'm still a little bothered.
Okay, can you do better than that, or that's it?
Like, is it clean? Like, a lot of times, you know, like, I guess going back to the scientific...
Oh, wait, one second. You're going home, right? You're going back home afterwards?
Why?
I sent you off something about my parents, but you're not going to
your
parents,
actually,
right?
No, actually, I'm actually going back to my parents.
Yeah? Oh, so can you just drop this thing by my dad's house?
Yeah.
I'll show you before you leave.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thanks. Yeah, I'm sorry, Yehuda?
Like, comparing it to scientific, a scientific comparison, you know? Like, you could have something that's very simple, like, let's say, Newtonian physics, you know, I guess it's somewhat simpler, you know? But, like, the upshlag, so to speak, to Newtonian physics would be something that's a lot more complex. But if everyone has this philosophy of don't get into areas that are too complex for your mind to understand, then the world would still believe that Newtonian physics is 100% true. So I still don't see how it's possible to have something where you're like, Let's take a guy like you were saying, who's very philosophically gifted, you know, and he's able to analyze his areas. So is his state one like? My first question would be: is he allowed to investigate these areas? And if yes, would his perfected state of investigating these areas be able to start from scratch? Like, would he be able to doubt whether there's whether it's from the Torah from Shammai or not? Because if he's still working under the premise that it's true, then it doesn't seem like he's being philosophically honest. Like, it doesn't seem like he's investigating it truthfully.
Right.
Like, I don't think you can set up a system that has a law that says you're not allowed to, even someone who's philosophically perfected is not allowed to think about other areas.
Right. Well, you see the Rambam fall into these things, right? I mean, he studied Aristotle and he considered the arguments, whether he's right or wrong, or right?
And also, like, what about the mitzvah? Like, how does the mitzvah of Yedias Hashem fall into this? Like, I guess that may be kind of, like, tangential, but, like, is the mitzvah of Yedias Hashem fulfilled through Harbi Sinai, or is it an action? It doesn't sound like that from Yisrael Torah. It sounds like there's, like, real
right.
philosophical areas, which is... It's going to be also really hard to just investigate that without, thinking about...
Right. Well, I want to say what Rabbi said. Maybe there's another thing I was going to say. I want to Rabbi say that I'm not trying to answer this question, but that the Isser is, like, to have an emotional investigation. Like, there's two kinds of investigations. There's an investigation based upon knowledge and based on your emotions. Like, a guy could say, a guy could be, I mean, you have to be honest and be able to differentiate between the two, but, like, what you're talking about is, like, a philosophically gifted guy who knows Torah is true and he wants to pursue knowledge even further and to understand, let's say he wants to understand, like Levin Aloros, he wants to see what's corrupt in Avodah Zarah. So he's allowed to look into Avodah Zarah and to understand it and to see the beauty of the Torah. And he knows the Torah is true, he just knows this can enhance his knowledge by really seeing these things, seeing the flaws in these things. So now he knows how to do that. So in terms of Yes Hashem also, you could say, listen, I mean, you could know that it's true. See, that's the thing is, you can know something is true secondhand, and you could want to have a firmer grasp on it firsthand. So, look, in truth, I don't see why, like, I don't think you're going to come upon a proof that God doesn't exist. I don't think that's, I don't think anyone claims they can prove that. No one even claims that. Even the atheists right. don't claim that. They just say, why are you believing in it? You know, it's, you could say anything. Like, that's what agnostics say. I mean, you can't really know these things, don't, you know? So I think, look, you know Torah is true firsthand, and you know God exists for you. You know all these things firsthand. Now, a guy who wants to have a firmer grasp on it firsthand, and so you know them secondhand, the guy wants to have a grasp firsthand, and he feels like he knows he's capable of getting, you know, entering these areas. In theory, if he's motivated by an intellectual pursuit, even if he doesn't come up with a good proof, so then he still has a secondhand knowledge.
Right.
You know, so it seems like as long as you're motivated by mind, it doesn't really seem to be dangerous. You just have to be honest with yourself and know your convictions and know that you're not really pursuing like an emotional, you know, out. There's such a thing as a guy wonder, you know, like I think it's like your heart. There's your heart which is just telling you to investigate these things, and then there's like a guy who's really involved in the Rambam trying to understand why Torah's theory is true and Aristotle's false, you know? That, I think, is just, you could argue, isn't the problem here. Now, it's true, in doing so, he has to consider the different theories, but at the same time, he always knows in the back of his mind that Torah, you know, that the Torah is the Torah, you know, Sinai. It's like a...
Right.
It's like
a but let's say it's like the Newtonian physics thing, you know? Like, it seems like he may always have in the back of his mind that, like, Newtonian physics is true because that's what he's brought up with. But, like, at the end of the day, shouldn't he be able to consider that the possibility that it's false?
This is like a little wet dry back right by the back door. You don't mind it. Okay? Thanks. Yeah, sure.
It was good to...
Yeah.
Question. This
yeah. Yeah, okay, good. Thanks for coming. Yeah, so again, what's your point on Newtonian physics? I'm not exactly following it. So you're saying is
like you would agree, right, that a first-hand proof would trump a second-hand proof, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say if a guy is like you said, if he has a second-hand proof of Torah Sinai, right. but he wants to strengthen it by investigating by a first-hand knowledge, right?
Right.
So shouldn't he be able to be able to dish the secondhand proof if he finds the more convincing first-hand proof that deals like a death blow to it?
I guess, but I don't think that. I think since he has second-hand proof, he could be confident that there's no first-hand proof to the contrary. Because he knows second-hand knowledge.
Then it can't be that a first-hand proof will trump a second-hand proof.
Well, I don't think it could trump it. I think it could give you a firmer conviction on the thing. It could allow you to attach to an idea in a first hand way. I don't think you can have a contradiction between the two because a good second hand proof is true. So I don't think it's like you're not sure about it.
Let's say it's not good. Like, the analogy from Newtonian physics was that there's, and again, like I'm self admittedly not knowledgeable of physics at all, but from what I know, it seems like Newtonian physics had a nice run. Like, there was a large amount of experiments that showed that this was a correct model. But eventually, relativity, or whatever it is, quantum came along and showed that it's not the best model, right? So, even though something looks like it could, like it's a great argument right now, one who's investigating truthfully should be able to have a possibility that model is incorrect. Like, if I, if a guy came into this the field of physics when Newtonian physics was still around and he refused to acknowledge that there was a better model, then you wouldn't call him a physicist. You'd say this guy's a Newtonian.
But I mean, I don't think, I mean, it's a good question, but I don't know if, like, Newtonian physics is, like, was proven to the point that it solved everything and there can't be a different model or a better theory out there. It's a different type of thing. So you're trying to make a model for the universe, and I don't think it was, like, to a point where it's clear that this is a proof, this is the model, period. I don't think there's such a thing like that. It's a very successful model. They know there are questions out there, which, you know, and they thought they'd be able to work them all out. But it's not like a proven thing. If a guy is something is proven, and then he's still saying is, I don't know, I want to see something else. Like, I don't know if you have a second of, like, this type of analogy. And like, it's a model. I mean, it's still true. There's still true things about it, and all the experiments are still true about it. But right. Here it's like a question.
But, like, at the same time, it's not. I don't think time is like that either.
The question is, did the event take place, or did the event not take place? So now the argument is the event took place. Now you're saying is that maybe I'm going to find the first-hand proof that it didn't? Like, so why would a guy think that? He knows it dead. Like, he knows it dead. He's convinced it dead. It's not that second-hand argument. That's my point. Second-hand knowledge is not that it's not convincing. It's not like he's misupic about it. He's not misupic. He's convinced that it's true. His mind is 100% convinced by Sinai. It's not like you're in doubt. But it's like your attachment to the ideas is a secondhand attachment. You don't understand why God is one. You know that He is one. But you don't understand that kind of idea, why it has to be that way. But you know 100% that it is. So if you had first-hand knowledge, you'd have a closer attachment to God. And you'd have a better, God would be more real to you, to your mind. But not that you would be more certain about it. It's just that your mind would be attached to the idea in a deeper way. But not that, like, this first-hand knowledge doesn't make you more convinced. You're already 100% convinced. Convinced beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not like you're going to become more... It's not as the value of the idea, I don't think, is that you're more convinced. I think it's that it takes hold of you in a stronger way. But I don't think you say, maybe I'm going to find the first-hand disproof. I don't think that's something that you think, because you already have a proof. And the second-hand proof.
Well, let's say you had a second-hand disproof.
I don't think you can have any disproof, because you already have a proof. You already know, your mind already knows that it's true, so there's no question that you're going to have any second-hand disproof or a first-hand disproof or any disproof. You know the argument is solid.
But it's not, it's not like a mathematical proof that... like undisputable, you know, there has to be, by definition, a chain of events that can be falsifiable at some point.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Like, for example, let's say, this is like something that I came across, and I agree that I think it's ridiculous, but there's this Israeli professor that claims that basically Bnei Yisrael were under the influence of like a really hallucinogenic drug,
right,
caused them to think that God was there. Okay,
right.
So let's say theoretically this was proven to be correct, right? So that would deal a powerful blow to the Torah Sinai argument.
So I guess you have to go. You have to think in Torah Sinai. Then there's nothing to do with anything. Then it's just a matter of you have to investigate Torah Sinai. And what I'm saying is you have to investigate Torah Sinai. But what I'm saying is, after a full investigation of it, you're convinced that all these arguments are ridiculous and none of them work. So then you know it's true. I'm not saying not to investigate Torah Sinai, I'm saying you should investigate Torah Sinai. But now that argument is solid. Now if you have doubts about that argument, so then you have to start thinking or whatever, if you have really real questions on it. But none of these questions hold any water. I mean, we can
say... But if the end of the at the end of the road of the Torah Sinai argument and claims that God exists.
Yeah.
So if you can see an argument that argues that God doesn't exist, then that should also be another valid argument against.
Yeah, I guess if you think there's an argument, I guess I don't see, but I'm saying is like there's no, like, well, therefore what? If someone tells you that he has an airtight, solid proof that God doesn't exist, then what? Then you should believe him and think into it and I mean, there's no one who even claims that. I don't think there's even a claim like that. There's a proof that God can't exist.
Right.
It's not even a thing. There's no such thing. You can't prove non-existence like ghosts. If you prove ghosts don't exist, I mean, it's not that kind of a thing. They'll just say, why would you believe in ghosts? So now I'll tell you why, because Tarmasinai. I believe in Tarmasinai, because Tarmasinai makes sense. It's a good argument. So now, no atheist is just going to prove... I don't know, not that I know of. There's no proof that God doesn't exist. They just show their religion stupid, and they show there's no reason to believe it. They show that you can explain things without it. But could you explain Tarmasinai without it? If you could, then fine. So then explain Tarmasinai without positing that God came at Sinai. Or
in which areas are if there's no proof against God directly, and the arguments against Tarmasinai is something that we're allowed to investigate, then what areas are restricted?
I guess thinking into Yichud Hashem, or thinking into the particulars in the Torah, which the Torah is saying are true, but the Yisodos, you want to think. You know that the Yisodos are true because the Torah says they're true. You know Sinai happened, and now you know all the different events of Sinai. You know Nevuah, you know this, you know all these different things. Now you want to think, is it really possible that God could talk to man? What is God, and how does he give knowledge to man, and what is man's psyche, and Let's do psychological studies and trying to figure out whether it's really possible to do Nevuah, and maybe the guy's hallucinating, and maybe this. And then try to come up with all the different, try to do like modern studies to test whether there's Hashgacha, or whether there's, I don't know, different conclusions which you know to be true because of Sinai. But you want to test them firsthand. To know, is God one? I'll get into all the philosophy and try to study that. Maybe some guy has a question on the proof of God being one, and just get yourself into all these different areas. But you know the conclusions to be true firsthand, but you're kind of curious.
Right.
Or, you know, I guess you could try to get into, like, the atheist literature. Like, they do have things to say. I mean, I'm saying is, like, if you think about it, I don't think there's anyone who's actually going to claim they have a disproof, like, a solid disproof that God can't exist. I don't think that... I mean, I don't know. I didn't really do research on their literature, but it doesn't sound plausible to me that anyone would, you know... From what I've seen, they don't really... You know, they don't really do that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, so... But they'll have literature, which are going to try to give you strong arguments that it's... That, you know, that it's not true, but they're, like, kind of rabble-rousing arguments telling you religion's stupid and telling you science is great and... They give these kinds of intuitive types of sense. They're intuitive arguments, which are basically that we don't need God and science and this and that. Intuitive type sounding arguments. But if you already know Tarmasinai, which is a solid proof, now the intuitive argument isn't going to knock that. Unless the Mamish someone has like 100% the solid deductive argument step by step, you know, on the par with argument like Sinai. I guess if someone claimed that they had that, I don't know. It's just, I don't think there's such a thing like that. I guess you'd have to say, if someone claims that he has that, I guess, I don't know. I don't really see it. I mean, I would say, let him to talk about Sinai. Sinai itself should be the place to discuss. Like, it's, you know, like that thing. If a guy says he has this theory about the hallucinogenics and Sinai and all that, then I guess that's something you have to look into. That's something to think about. Because now that's your whole, if there's really a question like that on Sinai, so then you really got a question.
Right.
You know, but I think that's an important point. I think that's an important idea that I don't know if I've ever thought of in that way. But I don't think the difference between secondhand and firsthand. And this is kind of came up with the whole God multiverse thing about Yedias Hashem, the firsthand, the mitzvah. The difference between second and firsthand, I don't think, is in your probability that you give it of being true or false. Because that was what everyone was bothered by. What do you mean? But I know Sinai. What's the problem? I already know that was true. And I don't have any doubts. And I know it's 100%. And there's no hole in Sinai. It's, you know, you think into it more and there's no holes. So what do I need this for? I don't think the answer is you'll be more convinced. I don't think knowledge is so much about, like, probabilities as much as you have a greater attachment to the idea. Like Pythagorean theorem. I think every kid in high school could know for sure that Pythagorean theorem is true. No one doubts it. No one has any doubt whatsoever that it's true. You don't doubt it. You don't know the proof. Do you have any doubt whatsoever that it's true? You know for sure it's true. It's not like you're 99% sure, and if you saw the proof, you'd be 100% sure. You're sure. For sure it's true. It's definitely true. Every single math book has it. Every single mathematician has it. Of course it's true. But you don't grasp Pythagorean theorem in the same way as someone who sees the proof. You have a different attachment to the idea when you see it firsthand and you see why it has to follow out of properties of triangles and whatever. You see the idea, you're attached to the idea, you have a greater, you know, it becomes more part of you. Your idea of God now could be more real to you, and it could move you in a way, in a deeper way, than someone who knows that the Torah is true because of Sinai. If you see that God from the universe, you see God has to exist, and you see him in a first-hand way, as opposed to because you know that the Torah was given, you know the event happened, and the event says that God is true. So you do know it 100%, but if you could see it directly, you study it directly, and God emerges out of the universe, so it's the, you have a greater attachment to that. You could have a deeper, more firm attachment to the idea of God. But not because it's a higher probability. It's like it talks to you on a deeper level. You know what I mean? So I don't think, yeah. If someone told you they had a disproof of the Pythagorean theorem, I mean, I guess it would be interesting, but I think you'd know that he's a crackpot. No one has a proof of the disproof of the Pythagorean theorem.
Has someone told us, me?
Someone told you that?
Yeah.
They had a disproof of that?
A friend who's working on disproving Pythagorean theorem.
Really?
I was with Sammy Ball, and he just started cracking.
Yeah, he started laughing. Yeah, the guy told you that he's doing that. It's a joke. Because it's a proof. It's the kind of thing. You know that it's proven. And you know that the guy knows it's proven. And you know it's secondhand. I mean, maybe it's not exactly the same thing. But it's just not. You wouldn't look into maybe there's this proof for you. You know that it's true. But you would look into the proof, because if you wanted to have a greater attachment to the idea of things, if you're so motivated, you would do so. Yeah. You know, good? A little bit?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's take it over. Let me know if it's if you're still bothered. But it's. I think that's a good insight. That last point is one, you know? It's an interesting way of looking at it, you know?
Which one?
Just the point of the difference between first-hand and second-hand. The way, it's not so much the probabilities, but it's the attachment of their soul to the idea.
Right.
You think into that point. If you don't 100% follow what I'm talking about, think into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's an important point. Yeah. All right. So, good question.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know?